Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do you like your gravy thick and rich and loaded with creamy mushrooms? If no one was looking, would you chug the whole gravy boat?
Chug, 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 chug.
Stay tuned. Here comes Mr. Chug-a-Lug himself, Eric Metaxas.
Happy Easter Monday. I'm so happy. I want to talk to John Zmierich immediately. I don't want to wait. John, would that be possible?
And here I am, Eric. All you have to do is open the bottle and I pop out.
Unbelievable.
In the voice of Barbara Eden.
Unbelievable. I want to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. But at some point, I want to deal with the Christ is King. I guess we could call it a controversy.
Yeah, it's a manufactured nonsense.
I have some thoughts on it. So you've written some pieces at stream.org, and I can't remember.
Yeah.
What are the ones that concern us today here at the beginning of April?
Right. Well, this one is called Christ is King! Exclamation point. And the subtitle is "And Anti-Semites Are Traitors," which I think is a necessary corollary these days.
I think let me just say what I have been thinking about this, because I thought about this. I thought about this years ago, that you can say something true in a satanic spirit. In other words, I could say Jesus is Lord. It's like if I'm in an argument with somebody.
Right.
And just to punch him in the face, I could say Jesus is Lord. Implication, you SOB jackass. Implication in the spirit of the way I said Jesus, true words, but in a way to punch him in the face, like to shut him up and Eric, I'm right and you're wrong. And that's not the spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit speaking through me, even though the words are quote unquote true words.
Eric, I've learned living in the South, bless your heart and I'll pray for you can both be equivalent to go bleep yourself. So I'll pray for you is one way of saying your soul is so far gone. I'm so superior to you. Oh, you're so bad. I know what I'm going to do. I know it's hopeless, but I'm going to pray for you. That's just how good.
Well, I mean, we're getting to something fundamental here, right? Which is the nature of truth. Satan quoted the sacred scriptures, the words of God in the wilderness. So Satan, not just a person with a bad attitude, Satan himself quotes the scriptures. And
let's put this in context, because people might not recognize what we're talking about. So
right.
let me lay it out. For centuries, martyrs and saints and theologians have said variations on the phrase, long live Christ the King. Jesus Christ is King. Christ is King of the universe. They've said this sometimes in profound theological books. Sometimes they've said it in the face of persecution, like the martyrs of Mexico, when the communist revolution happened in Mexico in the 20s and 30s, and they persecuted the Catholic Church. They would put priests up against walls. They would order the priests to get married in violation of their vows and serve the government. They replaced bread and wine at mass with mezcal and tortillas. They did all sorts of things to try to attack the Catholic faith. The priests who heroically resisted, like the martyr Father Miguel Pro, when put up against the wall, their last words were, "Long live Christ the King." So this is a beautiful phrase. This is the kind of thing that the Coptic Church, the martyrs of ISIS, might have said to their tormentors. Unfortunately, this term has been adopted by online anti-Semites of no particular religious faith whatsoever. People like Nick Fuentes, who, I don't know if you ever, he's like the Joker in Batman. Especially the TV version of Batman Gotham, they have the Joker as a young man. And the Joker as a young man who goes online and manipulates people and lures them towards evil, that's Nick Fuentes. He has taken to using the phrase, "Christ is King." But what he means by it is, bash the Jews.
No, he means F the Jews.
Yeah.
So to say... I mean, I was talking to Suzanne about this the other day. I thought you could say Christ is King in a way, and I said it earlier, but in a way meant to spit on, punch in the face someone. And that is the genuine meaning of blasphemy, right? In other words, to use something sacred in a way that is evil. And there are people who don't seem to understand this. They seem to have this attitude that, like, no, truth is truth, and there's no way that I could speak something true, 1 + 1 = 2, in a way that is designed to harm someone. Okay. And I thought, okay, if Satan could do that.
Let's unpack that. You look fat in those jeans. I'm kind of relieved your mother died. Black men kill more. Here's some things maybe you shouldn't run around saying. It's true there is a differential between white and black crime rates among men of a certain age. If you would just walk up and next time you meet an African-American, black men kill more. Nice to meet you too. People would infer something about your motives. This is called human motivation. This is like psychology 101. Or no, this is like remedial psychology, like you would learn maybe in seventh grade. It is completely obvious that you can say Christ is King in a hateful way. Let's say you're at a Jewish wedding and it's your turn to make the toast. And you stand up and look at the bride and groom and you say, "Christ is King," and hold up your glass looking at all these Orthodox Jews. People would infer something about your motives. You're not evangelizing. Okay, you're not evangelizing. You're picking up Jesus's body from the tomb and using it as a club to beat people over the head, not to convert them. You're actually running them off. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas thought through pretty much every question in the world. He has a whole section on the situations in which it would be wrong to preach the gospel. Think about that, wrong to preach the gospel. He says there are situations, for instance, where doing it in that context would make the gospel more repulsive to people than attractive. So it's not the time and place. You should wait for a better opportunity. And instead, you should behave charitably and kindly in this situation. You're not obliged to go get yourself killed, to volunteer to the Soviet or North Korean police, "By the way, Christ is King," so that they arrest you and shoot you in the head. That might be wrong too. It is when you unpack it, Christ is King is a beautiful affirmation, the way the bread and wine consecrated at the liturgy are extraordinary sacraments. You don't bring them along on a camping trip as snacks. You don't treat holy things in a disrespectful way. You don't use them in a self-serving way.
Okay, John, which brings us to people like Nick Fuentes. I do not get the impression that, I get the impression he's a genuinely hateful anti-Semite. That's the impression I get.
And irreligious, not a Christian.
Right. And so when they use the term Christ is King, it is like they're saying, "F you Jews."
Yes.
And I got to say, there is nothing more blasphemous than saying something beautiful and true in a way designed to slap people down, to demean people. I read someplace, I don't know if this is right, that maybe this controversy got started in the back and forth between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro. I don't know.
Yeah, that is Candace Owens is really annoyed at Ben Shapiro, and they're really annoyed at each other. There's a fight between them, which to me, given the two of them, it's kind of like the Iran-Iraq war. I'd like to see both sides lose. You know,
John, forgive me. Hold on a second. We're going to go to a break. We got lots more coming up with John Zmirak. Don't go away.
Living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, we're talking about this controversy because there's nothing to my mind more diabolical, more evil than taking something true and twisting it into something evil and false. There's nothing worse, right? So to speak something that's true, like Jesus is Lord or Christ is King or 1 + 1 = 2 for a reason other than
the proper reason
pushing forward the truth is ugly. And I'm sorry, I just want to say that there are people who are using the phrase Christ is King. And it seems clear to me that they don't know the love of God. They don't know what the kingship of Jesus is about. They don't know because they wouldn't be using these words in this way. There's no humility or repentance or love. Can I say that? There's no love in the way they're saying that. There's no brokenness.
No, Eric,
and it's very, very ugly. It's very ugly.
But I have to jump in. The number of people are doing it innocently, and they don't get the controversy. They don't know the backstory. What they see is, didn't Abraham Kuyper write that Jesus is Lord of every, either Jesus or the devil is Lord of every square inch of the universe, and we should be affirming the sovereignty of Christ, and we should be building a society built on theological truth. And you people like David French and Russell Moore, who accuse us of Christian nationalism because we want to outlaw abortion and keep the family together, you people are crazy. So, yes, Christ is king. Like Calvin Robinson, great guy. He's been using the phrase. I don't think he knows has anything to do with this ugly backstory. That's the problem. You get people who see it. Memes spread online, they see it and they go, yeah, Christ is king. You don't think that's true? I don't care if somebody else meant this in a bad way. I mean it in a good way. I want to be clear. Not everybody who's using this phrase knows about Nick Fuentes and the online incel loser subculture he represents. Okay.
John, it's exactly like BLM. It's exactly like the phrase Black Lives Matter.
It's a magic
Black Lives spell. Matter. You think Black Lives Matter. What does that mean? Of course, Black Lives Matter. Yes, that's true. Black Lives Matter. But then you think, it's being used to divide. Black Lives Matter more than other lives. Or it's meant to push forward the Marxist organization called Black Lives Matter, a Marxist atheist organization that wants to break up the black family, that doesn't believe in marriage. So this
don't
is dark
put it
stuff.
Past, don't put it past the principalities and powers against whom we struggle. Those are our real enemies. The demons who are controlling our culture are the real enemies, not any human beings. Don't put it past them to start a neo-Nazi front and call it Christ is King. That's just the same kind of thing that they would do.
Okay, that is perfect what you just said. That's exactly correct. To start a neo-Nazi, white supremacist, triumphalist, chest-beating, tribal organization, and to call it Christ is King, designed to divide. And again, the spirit behind that, or the spirit of anybody, you don't need to go to that length, but the spirit of anybody wanting to win in that way is satanic.
Just to
it
be
is
clear.
Not, it does not partake of the love of Jesus. And so that's what makes it particularly satanic to me, is that you're using something that's true for the devil's very purposes, just like the phrase Black Lives Matter.
Eric, we don't have to resort to hypotheticals. This actually happened. The neo-Nazis in Belgium, who became Nazi collaborators during World War II, were a movement called Christ is King, Rex. And it was in Latin, and the word Rex, R-E-X, for king. The name of the organization was the Rexists, and the leader of the Rexists was Leon Degrelle, who became an SS colonel and fought on the Eastern Front for the Nazis. So we have a literal historical antecedent for this. A group that called itself Christ is King were Nazi collaborators in Belgium during World War II, and they massacred Jews. So this already happened. The devil has a playbook, and he just keeps going back to it because it keeps working. I have a piece at stream.org called Christ is King and Anti-Semites are Traitors, where I lay out all of these things. I lay out the genuine problems with Ben Shapiro, for instance. Ben Shapiro, I dislike Ben Shapiro, despite the fact that he's Jewish, despite the fact that when I think of Jews, I think of, Jesus's cousin. I have an initial, when I hear somebody's Jewish, my first initial thing is to think well of them. It's just because of my attachment to Jesus and Mary and Joseph and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have an initial pro-Jewish sentiment. Other people may have the opposite. You have to take people individually, okay? Ben Shapiro irritates me because he talks about the free market. He sneers at like blue-collar workers who might want terrorists to protect their jobs, earning maybe $50,000, $60,000 a year in a factory. Ben Shapiro charges $250,000 for each speech he gives on campus. Maybe if you earn that kind of money, maybe be a little more sympathetic towards blue-collar workers who are losing their jobs. maybe just don't sneer at them about how they can't compete in the free market. It's just in bad taste. There are individual people we want to criticize. There are plenty of secularist Americans who are undermining the natural law. They're pro-abortion. They're radical libertarians on all the social issues. Some of them are Jewish. Focus on the evil ideas, not the fact that they're cousins of Jesus Christ. That's the good part about them. That's the part that's tragic, is that they're God's chosen people, and they have a special call to follow him, like in their DNA. And that's the last thing we should be bashing about.
There's so much here. I want to, you know, remind people that I'm always amazed, because when I was born again, around my 25th birthday, I had this Jesus experience. The love of God came into my heart in a way that I'd never experienced before. So I don't know if technically I was going to heaven before that. I think I was, but something happened that enabled me to love my enemies, to pray for my enemies. It doesn't mean I get this right all the time, but I certainly want to. And it's no longer, it's not tribalist, like I'm a Christian, you're a Turk and a Muslim, and I'm a Greek Christian, or you're a stupid atheist and I'm a Christian. It's different. Your heart, ideally, right, is transformed by Jesus, so that even when you disagree with someone, you love them. You want to reach them with the truth. You don't want to beat them with the truth so you can win and make them look stupid. You want to ideally reach them with the truth. So when the scripture says pray for your enemies, you're praying that they would see the truth, that they would that they somehow might come around. That's the whole idea of being winsome, or whatever it is, that there are ways to do that. Doesn't mean we can be winsome all the time, and we know that we can't and we shouldn't.
Well, Eric,
but that love for people that differ from us, just the love, that's the spirit of Jesus. And when you use even a phrase like Christ is King in a way to punch somebody in the face, or to say, you know, it's a chest beating kind of thing, that's not the spirit of Jesus. And that's a lot of what has been happening.
Yeah, it's two things. First, loving your enemies doesn't mean having warm, fuzzy feelings about them. It doesn't
Correct.
Mean them to succeed in this life. When my father was under General Patton in World War II in Germany, the way of loving your enemy who was a Nazi soldier was to shoot him so he couldn't do any more harm. So loving your enemy, you know, it takes many forms. But it always entails wanting the person's eternal salvation. And when you're dealing with someone who's absolutely infuriating and seems to be a genuinely evil intent, okay? And yes, I'm talking about Democrats. Or I'm talking about the leftist leaders, the people in the CIA and FBI who are putting January 6th defendants away for nonviolent crimes for years, really wicked people, people like Peter Strzok. When you loving them means hoping they make it to heaven somehow. Sometimes that's the best you can do. I joke that I pray for my enemies' deathbed conversions as soon as possible.
Or John, to prevent them from doing more evil. In other words, if you put somebody in prison, you're loving them because you're preventing them on one level from committing further evil, from damning themselves even more.
Right.
Obviously, this stuff is complicated. We're going to go to a break. Folks, I want to remind you two things. Number one, if you're not signed up for my newsletter, go to ericmetaxas.com. That's my name, ericmetaxas.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. There's all kinds of stuff you're missing that you're not getting. Ericmetaxas.com. I want to remind you, April 5th, that's this week, Socrates in the City in Charleston, South Carolina. You can sign up for that if you can get to Charleston, South Carolina. It's going to be amazing. Mark Halperin. You can watch it live at Socrates Plus, but you got to sign up for Socrates Plus. So go to SocratesInTheCity.com. Sign up for Socrates Plus. Please do that. A lot of great stuff there. Be right back.
For the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papa Ede. Off the wind on this heading line of the Marquesas. You got 80 feet of a water line. Nice.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC.
Welcome back, talking to John Zmirak. John, we're talking about a lot of stuff. I just want to read a couple of things before we talk further. When I posted that, I put something on Twitter on Friday, last Friday, Good Friday. And I wrote what we're talking about. I said, Satan quoted the scripture. So it's possible to say anything such as Christ is king in a way that is evil and that opposes God. If I speak true words and a heart attitude meant to demean, crush, or belittle someone, I've sinned blasphemously against God in saying them. So some of the responses, somebody just responds on Twitter, Christ is king, kind of like an F you, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they think they're doing there. Then somebody writes, Eric, you're not wrong, but this is the Zionist take. If we let them, they will ban Christianity. Hashtag Christ is king. I have no idea what the heck the Zionist take is.
The way to respond that to that, really, Eric, the winsome way is to say, Christ is king. Bless your heart. I'll pray for you. You look fat in those jeans. And just leave it at that.
Somebody else writes, Christ is king. The only ones who don't like hearing it are antichrist and have opinions that don't matter to me. I just find that amazing. People who don't like hearing that. There was a time in my life where I didn't like hearing that. And so I would like to think that somebody would sort of love me into wanting to hear it instead of just being like, I don't care what these people. I mean, I get that a little bit. Somebody else writes, Christ is king and no amount of wishy-washy bad takes is ever going to get me to take back this harmless fact. Hashtag Christ is king. So it's now become like this challenge. It's like a challenge. I'm not taking it back.
Here's the problem.
You can't take it back. It's true.
here's the problem. All right. Social media forces you and me to do things we're not used to doing, to getting into exchanges with people with IQs of 85 and a bad attitude, who normally we would just avoid them. Like if we were in Queens and we saw guys like that, we would avoid them because we would think they would beat us up. These are the kind of people we would avoid, the kind of people who have like a Led Zeppelin album hanging on the back of their denim jacket and they're 50. You just kind of steer clear of that person. You don't sit down next to him and get in an intellectual argument. But the glory of social media is that, hey, Christ is king, you right? Hey, come here. Christ is king, yeah? Yeah? Want to see a Bible? I got a Bible for you. Really, rub your face in the Bible. This is what the block button is for, Eric. Use the block button. God gave it to us for a reason.
Honestly, I don't, I never mute anyone on Twitter. Anybody who says anything like very dumb or negative, I block them immediately because I just, I don't have any interest in conversing with people. I don't even want them to be able to read my posts. So I've probably blocked more people on Twitter than anyone alive. That would be my guess.
My attitude is life's too short and so am I.
Well put. Well put. John, there's other stuff you want to talk about. Yeah. What else? What else?
I've got a piece that I published on Good Friday over the stream. And the title is provocative: Pope Francis and Caiaphas, A Tale of Two High Priests. Now, I don't know if your listeners know this, but Pope Francis is obsessed with Judas. He thinks Judas might have been saved. He says that publicly, even though, you know, Jesus said the opposite. Jesus said, the Son of Man will be betrayed, but for the one by whom he is betrayed, it were better that that man had never been born. Those are the words of, not of Jesus the super who lives upstairs, but of Jesus Christ, who is a major religious leader venerated by, you know, thousands of people worldwide, I've heard.
Ron. He was never Pope, but still pretty authoritative guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he said it would be better for Judas had he never been born. What does the church make of that? Well, for centuries, your own church, the Orthodox Church, has whole prayers cursing Judas, whole prayers talking about the wickedness of Judas. St. John Chrysostom has sermons meditating on what Judas's motives might have been. Pope Francis has been trying to say that Judas might have been saved. He has a painting hanging in his office. And of course, it's crude and crappy, like everything else Pope Francis likes. And this like crayon drawing of Jesus cradling the body of Judas after his suicide to suggest that Jesus forgives him even if he didn't repent. So that's some background on.
Let me just be clear. I would be thrilled if somehow anyone had escaped hell. But if the scripture says that he didn't, which seems, you know, unavoidable, it is bizarre to me that Pope Francis would come out saying that. I'm not sure what it is in the scripture that he sees that's not clear about that, because I don't take any joy in the idea of somebody going to hell, including Judas. But that's what the scripture seems to say, unless
Pope Francis
missed it.
Pope Francis is promoting the heresy that the Church Father Origen was his views were condemned on it. The heresy that of universalism, that everyone is saved. And at the end, everyone is saved. And the problem with that is it makes all of human life, the drama of salvation, it turns it from a drama into a cheap farce with a forced happy ending. It makes it all kind of a joke. It makes spiritual warfare seem like a joke, because guess what? That wasn't really World War II. That was just an episode of Hogan's Heroes. And Werner Klemperer, he's just an actor. He's not a Nazi commandant. He's a Jewish actor. Come on, it's all a joke. But they're just in costume. Here's Bob Crane. Come on, everybody. Take off the costumes. It's just Hogan's Heroes. No, that's not what it's about. So my piece at the stream, I talk about...
Wait a minute. We're out of time. We're not out of time with you. When we come back, we're going to let you complete that and other sentences. Folks, don't go away talking to John Smirak. Rang true, sure and true. Seems it never rains in Southern California. Big John, Big John. Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John. Big John. Big Bad John. John Smirak, you were just saying what you wrote about at stream.org.
Yes, the piece is called Pope Francis and Caiaphas, A Tale of Two High Priests. Just recently, Pope Francis issued a document in which he was sneering at and mocking those of us who refused the COVID vaccine. He actually made a sarcastic remark about a conservative cardinal, Raymond Burke, who refused the COVID vaccine and got very sick and almost died. Pope Francis has adopted the COVID vaccine almost as like a mark of what it's required to follow him. Even though the COVID vaccine was developed using tissue vivisected from a live baby during an abortion in the 1960s. We know that. It's in the sworn testimony of the professor who extracted it before the Food and Drug Administration. Even though Francis's own bishops warned the Trump administration back in 2020 that any vaccine based on aborted babies in the research would be immoral and Catholics should refuse it, Pope Francis sneers at those of us who didn't do it. He issued a Vatican coin celebrating the vaccination of children, which is useless and harmful. There was a bishop in Puerto Rico who would not segregate the unvaccinated from the vaccinated at mass and herd us all off to the side. He removed that bishop from office. So I look at it at stream.org and I think, okay, I know what's going on here. This is in the Bible. Pope Francis is being very biblical. He is living out the verse that Caiaphas said, it is expedient that one man die for the sake of the nation that they not perish. Pope Francis is acting like Caiaphas, the high priest of the Jews in his day. How appropriate. The Pope is Pontifex Maximus, the high priest in our Catholic Church. He is not imitating the saintly popes of the past. He is imitating Caiaphas, who turned Jesus over to be sacrificed. To me, the use of unborn baby parts in vaccines, and by the way, hundreds of abortions were done during the COVID panic, and those babies' organs harvested for COVID research. The Center for Medical Progress documented it happened at the University of Pittsburgh. Francis Collins at the NIH was part of it, even though he's a loud so-called evangelical Christian. He was in on this, on taking babies out alive, harvesting their organs, then they die. That is what the Chinese Communist government does to political prisoners. And then it sells those Uyghurs or Christians' organs on the international black market. Pope Francis sent his right-hand man, Bishop Marcello Serrando, to a conference of the Chinese regime's organ thieves to praise them for their work. So I think Pope Francis is living out what he thinks his vocation is, which is to be like the high priest Caiaphas, who sacrifices one man for the sake of the many. That is not Christianity. Christianity is about Jesus, who willingly offered himself to die for the many. When you take someone else against their will and sacrifice them for your own health and safety, you're involved in a demonic, satanic parody of the sacrifice of the cross. And if Pope Francis doesn't realize that and repent, he will end up spending eternity with Judas, but just not in the place where he thinks Judas is.
John, most of the folks who listen to this program, myself included, are not Catholic. And so I have to ask you, help us understand how it's possible to say, okay, I'm a Catholic, but the Pope is as misguided as you know he is. How does anybody make sense of that? Because I think many people are confused by that.
Right. I'm confused by it, Eric. And I think ultimately, at some point, bishops in the Catholic Church are going to have to recognize the fact that Francis is a heretic. He is no longer a Catholic. He may not be Christian. I think he's an atheist. I'm not sure if he always was. Maybe that he entered the seminary that way. The communists did send thousands of men into seminaries in the 50s and 60s to subvert the church. I think our bishops are going to have to recognize that Pope Francis is not a Catholic and therefore is ineligible to remain as Pope, and they need to declare him deposed and elect a replacement. So I regard the Pope Francis as Pope in the same sense I regard Joe Biden as president. Someone who got the power and got the office by illegitimate means and morally doesn't have the right to exercise that power. And the sooner it is recognized and acted on, the better.
I think one of the greatest things, we haven't talked about this, but one of the greatest things to happen lately is that Ronna McDaniel was thrown out of the leadership of the RNC. It's a scandal that she was ever there. Huge scandal. But she's thrown out. Laura Trump is put in, and Laura Trump says that in order for somebody to work for the RNC, they have to agree that the election was stolen in effect. And I thought, talk about courage. That's because you've got so many Republicans or conservatives that don't agree that the election was stolen, or they feel it makes them feel dirty to hang out with people that would say that the election was stolen. If the election weren't stolen, I would be very happy to say that, yes, the country was dumb enough to elect Joe Biden. That if that's true, that's true. But it seems so clear to me every day that passes is more evidence the election was stolen. How can we not speak up about this?
And
it's just amazing to me.
If you deny the election was stolen one way or another, even if you just think it was the CIA people suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop, whatever, if you think this 2020 election was entirely on the up and up, you are saying it's okay when the Democrats try to do it again. You're saying it's okay for them to do it in 2024. You are part of the problem. You are on the enemy side. So maybe we can't have you working at the RNC. By the way, I think it's hilarious that Ronna McDaniel, after destroying the Republican National Committee, tries to go work at NBC, and then within a day they fire her. It's like Judas trying to cash his check for 30 pieces of silver and it bounces. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, they're gonna say you follow Jesus, so we don't like you anymore, Judas. It's like you can't win on either side. It's just,
I keep telling people, don't sell your soul. It's a buyer's market. You'll get pennies on the dollar.
Got to go to a break. Be right back. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done.
Moments with John Zmierich. John, forgive me for saying so, but in hour two, my guest will be not you, John Zmierich, but Jerome Corsi. Jerome Corsi, there is nobody like him. He has written a million amazing books. His new book is about the assassination of JFK, and he has co-written the book with a forensic scientist who has proved that the official, quote unquote, official x-rays of JFK's skull have been doctored. This is monstrous news, or at least this is monumental news, not monstrous news. It's good news because most of us know that there were shenanigans and that it's a lie what the Warren Commission wrote. But the idea is, anyway, you'll hear about it in hour two. John, we just got a couple minutes left. Sorry, go ahead.
Does he consider my private theory? For years, I've been saying it was Jackie and that the Zapruder frames that are missing are of Jackie throwing her Derringer away. Is that
okay? That's sort of funny, but not. No, this gets to what we're always talking about in this program is that you have this thing called the deep state. You have this thing that Eisenhower called the military industrial complex. You have people running our country who are not we the people. Something happened. I don't know when exactly it happened that we the people ceased to be self-governing and that we have these people that we didn't elect in this vast bureaucracy running things, looking for power.
We got a glimpse of that when Tucker Carlson was interviewing Vladimir Putin. Now, Putin's not a good guy. He's arguably as bad as Joe Biden. I know. I don't say things like that.
Hard to believe, but I guess since you're my friend, I'll consider it.
But Putin said something very interesting, how on repeated occasions he would come to some kind of agreement with a U.S. president in a face-to-face meeting. And then weeks later, that agreement would be thrown out the window because the State Department said, yeah, he's just the president. We don't listen to him. Now, I would not necessarily believe that if I hadn't watched in 2020, the deep state do a coup against President Trump when they forced him to fire Mike Flynn, who was going to clean out the deep state. Mike Pence was the operative person there convincing Trump to do that. And then they launched a fake impeachment inquiry and fake treason charges against Trump, knowing they were false, and crippled his presidency and triggered a false impeachment. All of this was the FBI and the CIA colluding, acting like a foreign intelligence agency doing a color revolution in some third world country. Mike Benz went on Tucker Carlson and explained that our deep state got really good at overthrowing governments and censoring the media. That one of the reasons they developed the internet was so that they could use the media to undermine foreign governments like the Soviet Union. Well, when the Cold War ended, they didn't stop. They just kept using those techniques to control us. So I think what we have is a very small number of people from a very self-selecting subculture, a lot of New England WASPs who wear J Press jackets and go to Martha's Vineyard, and they think that they are here to protect the stupid, grubby people from Queens from ourselves.
Thank you, John. We're out of time. In hour two, Jerome Corsi. Folks, do not forget, support our sponsor, Mike Lindell. Go to mypillow.com. Go to mystore.com. Use the code ERIC. You can get all of my books, including Letter to the American Church, at mystore.com. Use the code ERIC. We'll be back. Just all right with me. Just all right.